November 17, 2022, is the Wap and Pedro Show. For Pedro Show, happy Thursday, Brother Matthew.
Yes, we're
it's
back.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, happy to be here.
It's been a little while. And it's been a little while since we've had live guests.
Exciting.
At the Fucking Love Grotto,
exciting
right?
day.
Most of the guest rock has been via the Skype,
the
iPad, and virtual voice, and disembodied voice. We actually have a voice with a body here. Start off the show with Tommy Flanagan with John Coltrane. John Coltrane playing on Tommy Flanagan's record. Everybody knows he did the killer solo and Giant Steps. It took him 13 years in his mind to get right. But I, you know, there's a Miles, the last time he's in the studio with John Coltrane, there's only two songs because he replaced him with Hank Mobley. And like, Hank's, I mean, this is during the fucking take. It's in the Eric Neeson book. During the take, you can hear Hank kind of stumbling through the chords, the changes. And John Coltrane's got the mouthpiece putting it all together. Miles gets done with this solo, right? And Hank's stumbling along. So Miles talks to Joe Coltrane, shows him the music. Right, shows him this. This is why tape's rolling. Shit, Hank's stumbling through. So Miles takes back the solo, and then it's John Coltrane's turn to solo, and it's like fucking like whoa. And there's another tune on there called Tail for the producer band that was always with Miles. But those are the last two times. Yeah, the guy comes in during the take, gets it in there, rolls the chords off, and nothing gets Hank Mobley. In fact, he made a trippy. Tenor Madness is the only Sonny Rollins record he did, but he did one with Hank Mobley, but then the other two cats were real square. Al Kahn and I can't remember, but it's trippy about those days and those guys doing sessions like that. Oh, yeah, we should do.
Who is this guy?
And then you heard after Tommy Flanagan and John Coltrane doing Minor Mishap. It was Everywhere We Go, the title song of the new album that comes out tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, nice to have you here.
No.
Was it 1 year ago we recorded it?
Almost exactly. Yep.
This is Big Ego Studio in North Long Beach, Kutschlarp. It was, 1 day in November around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Just before. And second time I got to record with Jim Keller.
Me too.
And along with you.
Awesome. How did that come together?
Let Mike tell you.
Well, how did it come together? You know, the original one, we did Wall of Flowers, which, man, we recorded 5 years ago, 2017. Our friend Chris Schlarb, he asked me if I wanted to make a record for his new label, and I said I would like to do that, but I'd like to do something I've never done before, which is to try to record an album of really good music with people I'd never met. I think it's probably really easy to make an album of questionable quality with people you've never met, but I thought it'd be really difficult to do it with people you've never met. So I wanted to try this idea, And he said, well, who would I like to play with? And I thought, pretty obviously, Jim Keltner and Mike Watt would sound pretty amazing together. And bizarrely, no one had ever thought to do this before. In my mind, it seemed like pretty obvious. So anyways, we talked about it for a while, and Chris got the stars to align for a day of recording. I think it was in June, May or June 2017.
Yeah.
And we did a day that turned into the Wallflowers record. And that was a lot of fun, and our band Mainsteam Stop Valve comes out of that when Jim didn't want to travel for gigs, so I was...
Was it before? Because I did a tour opening for the Meat Puppets with John and Terry's show, so is it before I left in this, it was the spring of 2007?
You were in China, I remember.
March.
Yeah, and you would come back.
Then coming in at the end of May, April, so it was in between the China and the US.
Okay, so maybe April then, yeah, interesting.
Because I was with Missing Men.
Okay.
Both of them with Tom Watson, but Raul just had Soph.
Oh, that's right, I remember,
so,
right,
so
right.
Jared come in and...
I remember.
So Hodges came in after then, huh?
Well, Hodges is the way we're going to try and tour this Wallflowers, because we get this record done, and Mr. Keltner's beyond the touring stage. Mm. He's more recorded. More tied up. Like those boats in New Orleans, right, that gambling casinos that can't be on the land, but like they're totally tied.
Loophole.
Natchez, it's all them towns up there are like that. Yeah, you can gamble here because you're not on the land.
Right, right.
River boat that never goes up. It's parked over here. And
St. Louis, too.
So it was a practical thing. I had found out that Hodge was being used by Chris Schlarb.
That's right.
At the time, he was still working with Mavis Staples. I know Hodge from being on the first opera with Nels Klein. Mm. When I found out about that with the Chris, because that was my connect with Mike Baghetta as Chris Schlarb. Mm. So I thought if the conduit's running that way with Hodge, maybe it'd be work out for that. And so we end up doing a tour of that. And some of the songs were Wall of Flowers songs. And some were, there was a couple parts from the first opera.
Yeah, some were not.
That's one reason why Mike kind of wanted me with Jim. I mean, Jim Keltner wasn't on the first opera, but I was. So, it kind of weird. But the personas overlapped without actually engaging. Music's a great excuse for people to come together.
Yeah, the story of all this stuff is really interesting to think about, too, because, like, he mentions Engine Room record, and that was a really big thing for me when I was trying to figure out, like, what music was all about, and how do you make music without having to fit into a little box, but how do you keep your personalities intact while you do all these things that you're informed with in your life. So that record was big, and it's just so, like, bizarre to think back of, like, how all this stuff kind of ended up connecting in a way. But that was the deal with that. But to fast forward to this record, before I forget about it, there was there was more material from that Wall of Flowers record. We had improvised for like 3 hours that day, and we had all this improvised music. And so when lockdown happened, I went back because I had been thinking about this. I was like, I bet there's another album worth of material and all this stuff, because I'd used some of it for Wall of Flowers, but I just took the first two chunks, turned it into songs. I transcribed everything that Mike and Jim had played, all the notes and stuff, and I found things that sounded good, and I recomposed new material to that to make it kind of fit together, like to orchestrate it a little bit, like pieces, so people wouldn't be able to tell if it was composed or improvised. And so I just took the first two chunks, and I was like, well, there's another 90 minutes of this. You know, so I went, and that was one of my lockdown projects. I went and I spliced it up, and I transcribed everything, and I wrote all this new music, and I put these overdubs on it, and I sent it to Chris, and I think I maybe had sent it to you too, Watt, but Chris was like, yeah, this is great, sounds good.
I loved it too.
Yeah, so we did the work to get it ready, and then, I had sent some of it to Jim too, and I think he was like, oh yeah, sounds pretty good so far. And then we pretty much got it ready, and then I think Jim heard it again, like in its later state, and what he told Chris, this is secondhand information to me, but I think what he told Chris was like, everything sounds really good, but if we want to do another record, why don't we just do something fresh? So that it sounds the way we sound now. Yeah, so I gave you...
the Rudy's boy.
I gave you cuts to... Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
That's when we play Asheville.
Nick's dad's in the house.
Yeah, okay. I meet you all over again.
We went to Asheville together. His boy saved that tour.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave him digestive pills on that tour.
to
help
God.
His stomach. Because I have stomach stuff, too. Not to air it all on the show, but...
Teamwork.
So that's where I first heard it, but yeah, so...
Yeah, so I cut it up, but I don't think I recorded it. Yeah. And so at that point, I figured, well, if Jim wants to do another record, who am I to say no? And so we figured out a time we could meet, and we did another day at Big Ego. And so all the material on this record is from that. So there's still all this other stuff that's, like, just filed away somewhere. But I was really thankful for that opportunity.
I don't think there's a lot of extra stuff from the second one, though, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, this is pretty much it.
We never played with each other.
No. Well, it seemed like it sure did work well.
And then also,
we're talking
the other
about
thing,
it.
That half-ass in the meantime to do the torn, that's what becomes MSV. MSSV.
Yeah, it seemed like you guys were sure having fun.
Yeah. So Hodge, he comes in and makes it a whole other trio out of it. And then because of the situation with the COVID-19, we end up making... I think 3 7-inches.
Yeah, 3 7-inches.
Yeah, it was the first gig that got canceled
and
at COVID.
One of them was
going to see you guys down at Sardine.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, postponed.
One of them was a double one. So we ended up getting a bunch of recordings out of that, and we got the shit together for the album, which is going to be the second MSV. Mm.
Yeah, that comes out in the fall, next fall.
Yeah, I didn't want to compete.
Well, part of the problem is part of the problem for me. I don't think it's really actually a problem, but in my mind it's a huge problem, is when we did the first Wall of Flowers tour, everybody was kind of talking to Hodge like, oh, what's it like to sub for Jim Keltner?
And like it didn't have its own identity.
Yeah, I guess in a way that is kind of what it was, but I just really hate this idea of replacements or subs.
Yeah,
when the reason you will ask somebody to play with you is because you like the way that they play.
He's totally badass on his own.
Yeah, exactly, right. So it really kind of bugged me, and so making it a different band helped that along. But then, of course, we've got the band going, and then the second record comes out, and so in my mind I'm thinking like, oh man, I don't want to run into this problem again.
Hmm.
So just sort of splitting it up seemed to work out okay.
And also, like, the tour is going to come a year. So it'll be a year from this release.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do the same thing we did before, which is do a tour of the stuff, then record it.
Then record it, then tour. Yeah.
Because that's really helped with the second MSSV album. Now, with this Gannett Keltner Watt album, there's no Braddock. Here, let's play another song. This is not a euphemism.
I'm
Walk for Pedro show that chunk of music start off Baguette Keller Watt doing This Is Not a Euphemism from the new album Every When We Go. Well, it's going to be new tomorrow. It comes out tomorrow, people. Big Ego Records. Red Mass, brand new from them out of Canada with Wonder Secrets of Health and Prosperity. And they had the people from Slates play alongside them. Alex Klein Ensemble. This is the twin brother of Nels Klein, who's a drummer man. His ensemble doing Audacity. Motto Home with False Rain. Carl Stone, Toto. Carl Stone now living in Tokyo. The Hatch out of Hokkaido, but I think they might be moving to Tokyo. Step in a Rain. And then Baguette Keltner Watt with In the Center. So, yeah, let's talk about these two tunes. This Is Not a Euphemism and In the Center. Or the title tune. Title tune, you have, me and Jim Keltner set up this kind of Latin groove, right?
Fake rumba.
Yeah, it's kind of a rumba. And man alone rumba, though.
Casio.
The girl, yeah, it's man alone.
Casio play along rumba.
You know, we're known kind of thing after Wall of Flowers. So you set up these other, also there's not as much jams, right? There's a couple jams.
There's a couple, yeah.
That ended up being tunes. Mm-hmm. But it was the other way around for Wall of Flowers, mm-hmm. where there's a couple compositions and most of it's
jams.
Actually jams mm-hmm. that turned in. So yeah, what were you thinking of? Like, this is not a, well, with instrumental music and titles.
Well, you got to call it something.
At the end of the day, before you even get started.
This one, I think I might have had the title, which is really bizarre for me, because usually I go like, you know, I think about the feel of the song, and then I put that word, and then I put, well, okay, we had Hospital Song.
Right.
I wrote it in the hospital. It's a song. There's the title. And I kind of just title all my songs that way, but it's going to be stupid if I just keep making them all that sound. So this one actually had a name because I felt like it was kind of this, you know, people have been calling it sort of, you know, they put the surf thing on it again, or maybe like Western or Ennio Morricone kind of sound or whatever. And all that stuff I like a lot. But to me, it was just sort of this idea of like, what's kind of a way to make a song that is, kind of has a timeless quality to it, but not really just timeless, but spaceless also, you know, like I think there's qualities to this song that in a way make it sound like it's always existed.
Well, you
that
know
sounds kind of heavy, but
the surf thing.
Yeah.
I think the use of space, because you don't put a bunch of notes together.
Not playing a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so,
yeah, that's
you know,
cool.
It's not whatever, fuse yeah. or shred.
Right.
You know, so it's got to be the other thing, sir.
Right. Well,
those Econo guys, right?
Get the other stamp.
Yeah, it's got to be something. Right?
Get the other stamp.
That leads to it. Also, you like reverb.
Yeah.
And so there's
guilty,
always
yeah.
something about surf and reverb, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why. Because they didn't have a lot of different boxes then.
Yeah, I guess it was that. You had tremolo on the
sounds,
amp.
Right?
Right, yeah, you had a little distortion maybe from the amp. Yeah, I kind of like using what's around and not going too crazy and paring it down a little. So maybe that's a big part of it. But you know, you're talking about how we made the first one. That was a bunch of jams, and then this one was less jams. And this song, this is one of the ones that I wrote. This is a fully written song that I came to the session with thinking about the two of you playing this. Because I remember the first session, the Wall of Flowers session, I had a stack of music. I don't know if you remember. I mean,
yeah,
I had like
no, I totally
10, 12 tunes or whatever. And I
some of it was, the first one we tried was so fucking hard because it was switching time signatures in a couple bars.
But it goes to this thing of like working with people you never worked with before. Everybody right. works in different ways.
Right, and that's what made, you know, the familiarity I had learned about this.
Exactly,
oh, this
yeah.
is going to have two more bars. Why? Because it just has two more bars. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He lays a dog lick his balls, right? Because he can. That's where I got that name for the Cuz Band.
The main inspiration.
People would ask me, why are you making this record with this guy in England?
Because.
Yeah. So, okay. So you were actually, because some of it I thought was provocation, like if I give you these guys this kind of melody thing, what kind of rhythm are they going to give us? But you were actually thinking rhythm you had?
I just figured the songs I brought, the real, like the fully written songs I brought, Everyone We Go,
yeah.
Measurable Life,
yeah.
Fake Break, I just figured it wasn't going to be, I didn't have to come up with anything because you guys were going to come up with the things you come up with. It's,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like already, it's already going to happen because we're all there in the room. And the other stuff I had sort of written not knowing the two of you. And I
right,
just brought
absolutely.
It. I thought they'd be fun vehicles or whatever. But when you realize that everybody works in different ways and it's all valid, I mean, that was why we just did those two tunes. We did Hospital Song, Wall of Flowers, and then I said, well, fuck it, let's just play and see what happens. Because it's going to be better than anything I brought.
Ig on stage would call that an audible.
Yeah, it was a big audible, yeah.
Audible. Like, you're in the moment.
Yep.
So what the fuck with the plan was?
Right,
now
yeah.
we're here, and these are the circumstances.
Right, and you just kind of throw it in the wind
audible,
and trust it's going to work out.
Some men ain't on the fucking set list.
Big time. Big time.
Yeah, so this is not a euphemism.
That's a jam.
Yeah, that's not one of these.
Right.
But obviously, the title came after.
Yeah.
So now you got to like it, whatever, taint it, bathe it with a label, with a tag, you know, which is right away it's a denial. So it's, you're assuming somebody's going to make an ass out of you and me.
Bingo.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know,
the word of euphemism is kind of right, water closet, right?
Right.
This house is the water closet.
Right, and that song is what that song is. It's nothing else besides what it is. Right. But, you know, I have a running list of, like, titles because I know I have this problem. So, like, in my little notebook thing, I just got, like, 20, 30 little phrases that, oh, it might be a good song title.
Oh, wow.
So I need one. I go in there. I pluck it out. I put
dudes
it on.
Dudes do that with lyrics. I guess
I do the same thing.
I do it with bass licks.
Yeah. Right, too. I got that. The voice memos. Yep.
Wow. Look, you know what? We ain't
it's all in there.
Enough time in the first hour. Yeah. You're done. November 17th, 2022. Dishwap. Pico's special guest, Mike Pagetta. Brother Rudy. Hold tight for hour two.
Yeah.
On November 17, 2022, it's the second hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
Plače su u crnoj kutiji, niko ih ne sluša više. Knjigama na staroj polici, niko niti prašinu ne briše. Hlače u ormaru haljine, same u mraku vise. Kroz otvoren prozor vjetar, tešku tamnu zavjesu diže. U sobi leže, nitko se ne igra više. Kroz otvoren prozor vjetar tešku tamnu zavjesu diže. Ovdje samo stvari stanuju, ovdje više nikog nema. Ovdje samo stvari stanuju, ovdje više nikog nema. Ovdje samo stvari stanuju, ovdje više nikog nema. Ovdje samo stvari stanuju, jer nas više ovdje nema.
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Geta, Keltner, Watt, and yank it out. Shumsky after that. Yeah, when you had to do that game, I had some guys from Zagreb on. And Shum is like Force. He's those like Force guys. And Trippy Band, seven-piece band. And
bitching.
Been through all down the lines of different musics. They're great. And Samo Svari. But it would have been bitching if he talked to the homeland.
Yeah.
It'll help me get. Tom Bloom, brand new improvisation number 3 for guitar and marbles. Yeah, have you done that yet?
Not yet.
You used a lot of other shit. After Ray Gun, right? Marbles. Hodge used marbles on my, in the middle of the Liberty Calls. On the fucking top of his kick drum head. Yeah, marbles and water. Fake Break. You got a Keltner and Watt. The Whale Has Swelled Me. This is Henry Kaiser and Rome Yamalov. Ava Mendoza and Mike Baghetti, you just did this last month. It's part one of your first Street Green Arts for Art.
Oh, yeah.
October 8th, 2022. And then finally, Not Enough Time, Baghetti, Keltner, Watt. Now, this first one we played, Yank It Out, this is actually a Watt song. You asked me to bring in a song.
Well,
this is much different, Brother Matt, than Wall of Flowers.
You know what I asked for? Actually, I said, maybe if you want, have a couple of bass lines ready.
Oh, okay.
And then I showed up to the first day of prac, and you said, hey, I got this whole tune. I was like, oh, great. Yeah. This is awesome.
I have a weird thing on
you
that.
You surprised me.
No, I have a weird thing on that.
Loved it.
Maybe I told you about this, but kind of linked to the first opera, but Nick Reinhardt from Terramelos wanted to know about Nels Klein, the guy on first opera, kind of like you, Mr. Shimmy. So when I said, if you want to know him, play with him. So we set up this proj with Greg Sonnier, Deer Hoof. And I wrote 8 songs. And when the guy did an interview, that's what he called them, his bass lines.
Rough.
He wouldn't call them songs. There's no verses, there's no chords, no intros, outros, no bridges. You know, it's bass lines.
Brutal.
And, you know, they were built with bass lines. I will agree. They're built with bass lines.
Yeah.
But there's more.
It's funny when a guitar player, if he brings in a song, oh, thanks for that guitar line. Or a piano player comes in, thanks for those chords. Okay.
But the fully fleshed out piece, that was a really nice surprise.
So you thought that's what I was going to do, was just bring in, here's a riff.
Just if we went into improv and maybe it was a way to direct the improv in my mind, something like that.
Like a motif.
Yeah, like just a little motif, yeah. But you had a whole thing ready, and that was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, because I kind of thought that's what you wanted was a song.
Whatever.
Licks. I think I brought in some licks. I had some licks just in case. Because I remember that was one of the problems of the first record. I felt a debt. Like, I got to bring something here, and I'm too afraid. So I did have some prepared. But for this, Yank It Out, I gave it a title. I have to start with titles of mine. And then I used it as a device for the tag. Bow, bow, bow. Yank it out. A mnemonic device, right? And I remember showing Jim Keltner. Mike was playing along. He was learning as I was showing it to him. And I asked him, well, what do you think of this part here? And he goes, you know, Mike, whatever you play makes me feel good.
Yeah, nice.
It's very beautiful. Very beautiful. It's the first time I played that bass since that first Stooges gig at Coachella in 2003.
That's the blue one.
Yeah, Bluey. I brought her back and I put in a new pickup. Actually, really old style. New old style. And that's another great thing. When I brought that thing in, Jim Keltner said, you know, if I played bass, Mike, I'd play one like that.
Bitchin'.
He's such a great cat.
Yeah, so beautiful.
You know, there's so much jock thing sometimes or whatever, chip on the shoulder.
Is that the bass BT work done for you?
That's right.
Cool.
Pedro guy. Right. He went to school.
Yeah, great dude.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, beautiful. Brian, he did.
Brian Tominaga.
Great, great work. Sister really knows music.
His sister, big time.
Like Quincy Jones and shit.
Yeah, yeah. She did the gigs for Obama in the White House.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. She got all the security clearance. And.
You know what, Brother Matt? I think it's time to bring on.
Whoa.
We haven't done this in a long time.
Yeah.
We jam in real time with our fucking guest.
Exciting.
Right?
We'll be right back.
about that.
Brother Matt. Brother Matt, what made you do what you did to us this cycle?
I just didn't want to screw up too bad. Just trying to lay something down for the master to work.
Mike, you did great. Yeah, much respect for bringing back the live jam world of the Spin Cycle here at the Love Grotto, Watt for Pedro. People, yeah, much respect. Yeah.
Right,
say into the second hour, November 17, 2022 edition, Watt Pedro Show, special guest Mike Pagetta, Brother Rudy.
How you doing?
Brother Matt, hold tight for hour three. November 17, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro Show. Start off third hour, Baghetta, Keltner, Watt with Fear Mongers from the new album, Every When We Go. Then we had the Medicine Singers doing Sunrise. This is the Rumble version of Sunrise. And Sunrise, ask Cooper Band copy of that. That was an old, I think it was a fucking one of them musical Broadway things. And then Baghetta, Keltner, Watt with Measure of a Life intro. So I should have put that with fucking Measure of a Life. What a dumb fuck. I think
build
I
the
went
suspense.
In order, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you, put
you build the suspense.
Out,
yeah, it's all right. Make them wait for it.
But, yeah. Fuck them up. Yeah. You never trust labels again. One, here's another big dip between the MSSB band and the Keltner, Baghetta, Watt. You write bass lines for me in MSSB.
Yeah, I start with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like the thing you were saying before.
That does not happen in this band.
Right. Yeah, right.
He totally relied on the three cats coming together. Uh-huh. MSV is more Mike Baghetta vision. Mm. I mean, where I didn't even have D. Boone write me bass lines. I've never had a guy. If I helped another dude out, I usually learn the bass parts from the dead dude or the dude that was gone.
Uh-huh.
I never had somebody write for me.
Neat.
First time in, yeah, four
years. Kind of exciting way to work, something totally new.
Well, it's the idea from you, though, like you said in the last hour or whatever, you know, bring in some bass lines, and the guy doesn't call them tunes, he calls them bass lines. Yeah. And I remember us talking about this in the boat, like, why can't you start the whole song from the bass? Why does it have to start with the chords? Why does it have to start with the melody? And I realized I hadn't been doing that. And, you know, to hear you play on the bass is such a specific sound that it's really inspiring for me to think, what would I want to hear come out of that sound? And to make the whole song from the ground up is the way that I write that. But it comes from the idea of us talking about it.
And I think this idea of trying to give the proj an identity.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not build it?
Why not? Yeah, it's a
but
different
more
thing.
More than that, you know what he does? He puts bass notes in a pad. He don't play fake bass on a guitar.
It sounds stupid to me.
So he puts the sounds in a percussion trip.
Oh,
like that.
Wow.
A little punch.
So there's another layer of
NPC thing. Just to make the demos. I don't ever want it to sound like that.
He's a bass player.
Yeah, yeah. Right on.
All Geezer Butler's. He knows all Geezer Butler's.
Right on. It's a good place to go.
Actually, one time he got to jam with D. Boone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
But tell him about it.
Yeah.
I was about 15 years old, maybe 14. And he says, Rudy, I heard you play bass. I go, I play a little bit. I was like Mike, I didn't even know how to tune it.
Right.
But he came over to the house one day in the garage, and we started playing a few of the, all I could remember was Creedence Clearwater.
Really. Oh, yeah.
We played some of that stuff.
Great.
And that was only...
If you were 15.
I was probably 14 or 15.
Okay. When we were 15. I remember, you know, Temple Bethel?
Yeah.
Right.
Mark Weiswasser's brother, Richie Weiswasser, is having his bar mitzvah. We played this thing.
Yeah.
15 years old, there's a picture of me on the hoop page, a Hawaiian shirt, big old afro, twin butt. No puka shells, though. I remember the chow. They had tables laid on the best chow. But we were making such a racket, you know, trying these Kiss copies and shit. That they shut the sliding glass hatch, so we should just put under the boom. You know, you got a park of drill bucket under there. Me too, though, man, because that chow was. And when they let us out, it all man, I was like, ah!
What a tease.
The old dude singing stuff, it was a trip to be part of. I'm going to get to be next month. Perk's boy Eden's going to have his.
Oh.
So 15 years, it's going to be 50 years because I'm going to be 65.
Oh, neat.
So 50 years later, you should do a bar mitzvah. Yeah. But that's where I was. So D. Boone must have jammed with you right around that time.
Well, yeah, but it was weird because I knew, you just know when somebody's going to be something, right? Mm. And I had the fear of getting on stage and playing this bass in front of people.
Yeah.
So
I still have that now.
Right?
Every time I play.
I think I finally got over it. Playing with my son.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Well, that's really cool.
Right? You know, Nick was just...
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Palacios and his boy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, my dad plays guitar, too. That's where I started playing guitar.
I just...
Hieronymus Bosch, his daddy, his granddaddy was painters. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to play another song from the new album.
Thank you. Thank you.
From Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Start off that chunk with Measure of a Life. So I did have it in the right place, just had Spiel in between. Okay.
That's good. Make them wait.
Okay. See, I get in the way of myself every time, Brother Matt. Measure of Life, yeah. And what is a measure of life? Is not enough to get on stage and grow on a pair, right, Brother Rudy? Well, it's Under the Sun is what he called it, because it was two daddies.
S-O-N.
Yeah.
Under the Sun.
S-O-N. Oh, I like that, yeah.
Then we had, this is Tollum. He's in Sicily with the Sicilian Improvisers Orchestra, and they've been together 10 years, but finally put out a recording. This is part two of two, Omnia Leomatic. Yeah. And then finally, Baguette Keltner Watt right. with Every When We Go, Slight Return for Jimmy. A
little tribute.
Yeah. And, so I think that's a big difference, too. So if people are confused because two of the three guys are in both projects, give it a listen, people. They are different things. I know from being there, but I think you can get it from hearing, too.
Hopefully.
And I'm very honored and proud to be part of both of them. Like, we got the second MSV done. It's in the box, ready to go, but we're going to wait. It'll be kind of a promo for the tour we're going to do. Because my fucked up knee, we're going to make sure next fall.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to... I think people think it's backwards, but, like, when we do the tour, I have new music ready to go so that we get to... practice it every night in front of people.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the tour, then you make the record.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you hang, you make sure it's cool, make sure it sounds good, get it together. You don't have to rush anything.
Yeah.
And then for the next tour, put the record out, you do those songs, and then you have a new batch of songs done. You do those every night on the tour to practice them. You record them at the end.
Yeah, you're working them, you're all tight.
It makes so much sense to me.
Yeah,
right.
People do it backwards all the time.
Because it's like a gig in front of the mic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really a good strategy.
Yeah, we played 48 shows in a row, and then day 49 and 50, we made the record. We breezed through the whole thing in one day.
It was like the next night.
And they evolved so much from what they were originally, which is exactly what I want.
Oh, my God. And even the stuff that we recorded, the 7-inches, because that was kind of the stuff that wasn't the album. Mm-hmm. It was the stuff we did for the 7-inches while we were at home during the situation. But they evolved. Mm-hmm. Playing in front of people. Yeah. You got to do the other prac, but the real prac is playing.
No substitute.
So is that your typical way of doing it? Like 49 shows in a row? Or
not that many, but but doing the music and then recording it. I learned that a long time ago, just from being in other people's little bands when I was in New York and stuff, and they'd write all this music. You'd get together, you'd practice it a bunch, you'd record the album in like 2 days. It would sound good. 8 months later, you'd do like 2 weeks of gigs. Mm. And I remember every time thinking at the end of those 2 weeks, I was like, man, this stuff sounds so much better now than the record. We should have recorded it now. So I just started doing that.
Right.
I don't know.
Now, tell us a little more about the Ava thing, because there's some releases coming out of that, right? You guys made a single, or?
Hopefully, yeah. We did. Ava Mendoza, great, amazing
She's been
musician.
On the show a couple times.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
I think the first time you guys played was Stooges Funhouse.
It was the encore at the last Wall of Flowers gig we did. Yep. That was the first time we played together on the encore.
She got her to open up, and then, hey, come play with, you know. People say three chords, just Ramones, and the Stooges one.
Beat that.
Just that chord stuff.
Yeah, there's a video of that. Somebody put it up on YouTube.
That's right. That's right. And then you guys got invited to do these gigs?
Well, we had a recording. Actually, there was this recording project that invited MSSV to do it. It's this thing in New York called Least of All. It's kind of an interesting thing. They sell a bunch of, like, ideas of a record online to people, so they'll buy like, oh, I want to have this thing, and it's a 7-inch. They lathe cut it in real time while you play, and they only make one for everybody who orders it. So usually, I think it's like singer songwriter kind of thing. They'll have a song, and then if 10 people buy the record, you got to record it 10 different times, and each person only gets that one. They don't keep them anywhere, right? So I was like, well, they asked us to do it, and I was like, it's not going to work time-wise for MSSV on tour, so maybe something else. So then Ava and I had been talking about doing something together, and I told this company, how would you feel if we did 30 different improvisations, people buy each one, and we only cut it once on a record, and then you send them the record. So that's what we did. So we did five gigs, and then we made 30 7-inches. We just played like for 3.5 hours straight. It was totally like mind twist.
Well, this thing we played in the second hour, that was live outside.
That was one of the gigs. That was the gig we did for Arts for Art Vision Festival in New York. That was an outside gig. So that was an hour-long thing. That's also on YouTube if people want to watch that.
I think that's where I plucked it from.
Yeah, that's cool. You grabbed the audio. Because the records we made, I thought there was going to be a way we could kind of finagle something, but at the end of the day, they just make them and they send them out, so we'll never hear them. You know.
You went to that dude's pad.
I thought, you know, we played a lot of them straight through, and I thought, you know, maybe someday these 30 people will get together, and if they play them right in a row from 1 to 30,
right.
You'll get the full experience again.
Mixtape.
But we're going to do some more stuff in the future, so there'll be real things coming.
Mike. Can't wait to play with you again. Thanks.
Likewise.
Thanks for coming aboard.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Great having you here.
Matt, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Everybody.
Pleasure.
People, November 17, 2022, Dishwap Pedro shall keep your powder dry.
Yeah.